If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We thank God for today. Thank Him for keeping us and watching over us and bringing us to a place where we learn how to walk as Christians. The transformation is not easy, and many times those of us in ministry, we preach the word of God, the message of the kingdom, and we preach it from the end. We preach it from the position that God wants you to be. And we ignore the developmental stage, how long it takes to get there, those principles. We think that those principles are elementary, but in reality, they're not. They're very, very sophisticated. We've been examining the scriptures as it relates to our lives becoming more Christ-like. I want to start in Romans 12. It's one of my favorite transformation scriptures where the Apostle Paul really tries to get the people of God to understand the need for change. It is a life-changing chapter that really is a very practical chapter. After Paul finishes encouraging the Jews in chapters 9, 10, and 11, he now returns to the instruction for the Christian. During Paul's time, there was a growing problem of losing the distinctiveness of Christianity and becoming absorbed into the culture of the time. We saw Paul address this in Thessalonica and 2 Thessalonians, where he talks about the falling away. And for many years in Pentecost, we thought the falling away meant backsliding. Oh, there's going to be a lot of people backsliding. The falling away, it's better termed the apostasy. And the apostasy has nothing to do with the church in general. The apostasy is a mindset that sweeps through the culture. He is saying literally that the end of time cannot come until people change their view about God and say that he's not who he is. They're falling away from the revelation that God is God. Now, Paul was not making this statement to the church specifically. Paul was making this statement as a sign to the church to know when the end is upon us. There is an apostasy today like we've never seen before. We are literally in the decline of our civilization. Animalistic behavior is becoming the rule of the day. We're seeing for the first time a certain childishness brought to the office of president that we've never seen before. And I'm not saying that to discredit him. I'm saying it just as a point of observation. The reason why, now see, this is where you as the Christian living in the principles of the kingdom of God, this is where your joy should increase. Now, everybody else in the world is afraid and walking around in a fog of uncertainty. But when you read the Word of God and you read the books of Daniel and Matthew 24, 25, Mark 14, when you read these passages and they address the end time, Then you go back to Ezekiel, and you start at the 36th chapter of Ezekiel and work all the way up to about the 40th chapter, and you see how the prophet of God identifies the kingdoms that ultimately will come against Israel. For many years, there was always this nagging question that if all of these things were going to happen, where would America be? Because it was a very significant power. Now you see the decay in the world, that America no longer has the voice, it no longer has the respect, and now it continues to lose respect in the political arena. And what's happening that many people do not realize is while we're fighting with the president, while we're fighting over all the things he's doing, our enemies are getting stronger. It's a trick of the devil. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand, and America is divided. Now, I feel sorry for them. I really do. My heart goes out to them, but I'm not of this world. I don't think Noah rejoiced when the flood started, but there was nothing he could do. God was saving him, his sons, his wife, and his daughters-in-law. I don't think he was happy about it. I know Lot wasn't happy about the destruction of Sodom, but what you going to do? If God has marked you for salvation, you just should be saved. God has marked us for salvation, and just as he moved Lot out of Sodom, he put Noah and his family in the ark so that they wouldn't be in the flood, he's taken us out. Now, you might have a different eschatological position and believe that you're going to go through the tribulation, then I say to you, go ahead. I'm not going to fight with you. But the truth is, when Jesus comes, you're going. You're just going to be surprised. When you meet us going up, you're going to be surprised. You're going to say, oh, I thought I was going through the tribulation. And the Lord's going to look and say, do you want to go back? But by the time you see him, you will understand the depth of his glory and power. Now, why is all this holy living then necessary if we're going to escape the coming calamity of the world? That poses an interesting theological question. If Jesus is coming back for us, then what difference does it make how I live? If the Apostle Paul's teachings in chapter 8 validate my salvation to the point of permanency, then why should I live holy? If you're not going to lose that salvation, then why should you live holy? Why not just live the way you want to live? And, you know, you're going to go to heaven anyway, so what's the purpose? Why not just go back to that old lifestyle and do whatever you want to do and find yourself mysteriously raptured into the presence of God? Because Christianity has nothing to do with those things. Christianity is not about heaven. God did not save you to take you to heaven. That's a byproduct. But that's not why he saved you. God is not preparing you for heaven. The concept of salvation has nothing to do with heaven. God didn't save you to give you eternal life. It's a gift, but that's not why he saved you. God is not cleansing us daily so that we can do ministry. God, through Scripture, has used people that weren't even his. I mean, God used the donkey. Donkeys don't have souls. So the using is not that critical, but yet these are the things that we strive for. We want God to use us. Why? Why? When one searches Scripture, you begin to develop the concept. The only reason why God saved us is so he could fill us with him. He wanted us to fellowship with him, and the standard of fellowship was so high that we couldn't come to him first of our own volition. This eliminates, I chose Jesus. We're not capable of choosing him because the heart is desperately wicked. It cannot choose the things of God. It consistently chooses what is geared towards the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. And so when Paul teaches in this great book of Romans, when he gets around that eighth chapter, he tries to comfort those Christians who are struggling with the transition between Christianity and the Roman government. It is a very lascivious government. It is a lustful government. It is a government built on pride and arrogance, superstition, many gods, many temples, many ways to worship, many violations of the law that had been established by the Roman Senate and the government. And so the Christian was thrust into the middle of that lifestyle and struggling with how to live. They probably thought, like some of us do, that we could lose our salvation if our lives continue in this downward spiral. So against that backdrop, Paul writes and says, you are foreordained. You are elected of God. And if God elects you, God's going to keep you. This is not for us to walk out of this place of worship and decide that, well, since God called me, I'm going to live any kind of way. Then you miss the purpose of the election. The election wasn't for you. The predestination wasn't for you. It was for God. The beauty of salvation is that I was chosen by God, for God, to walk with him, to live with him, and for him to dwell inside of me. Ergo, my body becomes the temple of God. God moved from the tent to the temple to us. The progress was very unique. He goes from the tent, which represents, the ability to move around. It's very mobile. The concept was wherever you are, that's where God is. The instruction was to put the tabernacle right in the middle of the nation of Israel. Three tribes on each side, making all 12. So you had 12, 3, 3, 3, and 3, and the tabernacle was right in the middle. Later on, David says, I want to build you a permanent house. Why? He believed that since they were entering into a permanent place to live, then God deserves a permanent place. But God wasn't interested in a permanent place. He wanted to keep that mobile representation so that they would be mindful that you could never leave him, that you could never walk away from him. They were his chosen people. Do you get the drift? They were his chosen people. God did not choose them because they were great. He didn't choose them because they were the largest tribe or because they were the most favored. He chose them because he loved them. Therefore, he chose us because he loved us. God loved us when we were not lovable. God loved us when we were still in sin. God chose us because he loved us. I am sorry that some of you struggle with that and say, well, what about the people that are not saved? I can't answer that question. I can only say he loved me.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.